God, to you our hearts are open. We pray that as we reflect on the person of Jesus this morning, that Holy Spirit, you would be doing that most excellent work of revealing more of Christ to us. No matter how long we may have known and walked with Jesus, or whether we don't know him at all, we pray that all of us here this morning would know him better and love him more as we hear about him more. We ask in your name. Amen. Do you take a seat? So at St. Mary's and St. Mark's, we've been looking at the Creed, and we're going to be doing it. We're going to be taking a pause next week because it's Lent, but then after Lent, we're going to be continuing to look at the Creed, which is our statement of faith, the statement that says what we believe. It's been passed down through many generations and just beautifully speaks of who God is, who we worship, what it means to be church, what it means to be the people of God together, what it means to pray, all those kind of things that are in the context of the Creed. And last week, Peter introduced us to God the Father. And today we're thinking about what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God. What it means that Jesus is the Son of God. In the Creed we say, I believe in Jesus, the Son of the Father Almighty. And so it's just a beautiful expression really of who Jesus is. And I want to start with a testimony. And that testimony is one I've shared before, but it's a testimony of my sister-in-law Claire. Now, Claire had had experience of God growing up. She'd had encounters with the Holy Spirit, seen God do amazing things and seen friends healed, therefore could not deny that God existed. She just couldn't deny it. And so she started attending church and going to various things, that Christian events that were happening, and she would say that she had a faith and would celebrate with other Christians in church. And she had a fairly understandable relationship with God. She believed in God. She'd seen the Holy Spirit at work, believed in God. And then after a number of years, she kind of just fell away from church a bit. She stopped going. A couple of things happened that caused her to feel a little bit upset by the church. And so she left the church and stopped going. And then one weekend, she came to stay at our house with our niece, Amelie, and they were staying over, because we'd had a big family celebration and all together, and I'd been out and done a funeral in the afternoon and came back. And at about 11 o'clock at night, when all the best conversations start to happen, we started to talk about Jesus. We started to talk, because we started by talking about grief, but then talked about how Jesus is the hope in grief and all those things. And we began to unpack what Jesus is about, because Claire said to me, she said, I've always believed in God. I've had encounters with the Holy Spirit, but I've never quite understood where Jesus fits in. And so in about the space of about 2 or 3 hours, taking us till about 2 o'clock in the morning, I took her through as much of the good news of Jesus as I could, starting at creation and right through to the people of Israel and why Jesus' sacrifice is important, because that was the thing she was particularly stuck on, is why did Jesus have to die? Obviously, if you've done an Alpha course, you know it comes up and why it's important. Took her through the whole thing. And then she went to bed and I went to bed. And then in the morning, she came downstairs and she said, I happen to have my Bible with me. I don't normally have my Bible with me, but I happen to have it with me. And I opened it and I felt God say, turn to Ephesians. I think it was Ephesians. Might be somewhere else. You'll know when you hear the passage. So she turned to exactly where God told her. She said she'd never had that before. She'd never been told to turn to a particular place. And it was the verse that said that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And she suddenly said that everything fitted into place in that one moment as she read those words, that Jesus is the cornerstone. And she said it all made sense. Everything made sense. Everything I'd seen, everything I had experienced of God, everything I hadn't understood made sense. It made sense that Jesus is the cornerstone of our faith. So to understand Jesus is to understand what it means to be a Christian, to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It all comes down to him. You will have people in your life, I'm sure, who really struggle with the concept of God. But what do they think about Jesus? You might have people who struggle with the concept of the Bible, but what do they think about Jesus? You may have people who have been hurt and scarred by church, but what do they think about Jesus? There's one it's a bit of a difficult quote to hear, but it's one of those quotes that says that if you have been wronged by church and you've walked away from faith, then maybe your faith was in people more than Jesus. What do you know about Jesus? He is the cornerstone. People may struggle with the concept of suffering. What is suffering all about? Why does suffering happen? But what do they think about Jesus, the one who himself has suffered and therefore can make sense of our suffering? This is why that when we follow Jesus, the important question is, who do we believe he is? Who do we believe Jesus is? It's a question that Jesus asked of his disciples several times. And often the question they asked of him is like, who are you? And then he says, well, who do other people say I am? And then they begin to answer that question. Well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're a prophet, some say you're this great person. And then he pinpoints them, looks them in the eye and says, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And the moment of transformation for the disciples comes not when they recognize him just as a rabbi, or just as a great friend, or just as the brilliant teacher that he is, or this amazing person saying amazing things about God. Transformation comes when they say, you are Lord. You are the one. You are the Son of God. You are the one who was promised. It all depends on who we believe him to be. This is the Jesus who is our counselor. This is the Jesus who is our friend. This is the Jesus who is our brother. This is the Jesus who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. This is the Jesus that John describes as the Word, the one very being and the very beginning of creation, the one who spoke creation into being. That is Jesus. This is Jesus who is our friend and brother. He is Prince of Peace, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He is the one who God has given authority to over all things. He is the one who is who we worship, who we're here for, who life is about. He is the very source of our life. He is life in all its fullness. He is hope. He is peace. He is joy. He is all the things you're looking for in life. This is Jesus. This is Jesus, the Son of God. If you want to know what God is like, then look to Jesus. Bishop Lindsay was Bishop of Horsham here a number of years ago. He was once being interviewed by Ali G, who is a comedian, in inverted commas. And he would interview people and try to shock them. And he once said to Bishop Lindsay, what does God look like? And Bishop Lindsay said, well, I've always felt he's kind of Jesus-shaped. If you want to know what God is like, you can do no worse than looking to Jesus, no better than looking to Jesus. And if you want to know what life is about, then look to Jesus. If you want to know where to find purpose, then look to Jesus. If you want to know where to find life, then look to Jesus. If you want to know hope, look to Jesus. If you want to be saved, look to Jesus. If you want to be rescued, look to Jesus. If you want to be healed, look to Jesus. If you want to be made whole, look to Jesus. He is the source of it all. He is the cornerstone on which everything is built. And significantly, as we stay in our statement of faith, in our creed, he is the Son of God. Now that passage that we heard read from Matthew, I wonder if Paul can maybe pull it up again, I'm sure is really familiar to most of us. The baptism of Jesus, this wonderful moment where John the Baptist has been baptizing people, calling them to repentance, calling them to the kingdom of God, warning them or saying that Jesus is coming excitedly, I think. And then Jesus comes over the hill, we know, and then he asks John to baptize him. Remarkable moment. John the Baptist, who is a messenger from God, a prophet from God, and then Jesus, the Son of God, has come to him and said, will you baptize me, please? And John's saying, no, Jesus. I mean, I think it says he tried to deter him, basically saying, I'm not sure that's such a good idea, Jesus. But Jesus is like, no, John, baptize me. That is God's will. So John baptizes Jesus. And then we have this incredible moment where the Spirit of God descends like a dove, rests on Jesus, and then the voice from heaven is heard, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I'm well pleased." The Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. And that matters not only because that's who we worship, it matters because of what that makes us in the kingdom. What that does for us in our relationship with God as Father. You may know very well the passage in Romans 8 that talks about our adoption as sons and daughters of the living God, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. That beautiful, intimate phrase. And one of the things that helps us to understand how powerful that is in line with this passage is to understand what is meant by that term adoption. Now, if you have an adoption in this country today, you know what that means, don't you? Basically, there is a child who needs a home. A family choose a child and want to give that child a home. And so they go through a really arduous and horrible process of adoption in order to bring that child into their new forever home. That child then becomes part of their family. That's our understanding of adoption. Yes? That's not the understanding of adoption in when Paul is writing Romans. Adoption had a very different meaning in the Roman times. And it had a very significant process. Adoption was the process by which the son of the father became known as the heir of his inheritance. So what would happen is at the age of 14, the son of the father, who was already his son by birth, would be brought into a public space, put in front of everybody, and the father would say, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." And then everything that is the father's becomes the son's. At the age of 14, he becomes an inheritance of what his father has. That was the understanding of adoption that Paul was talking about in Romans 8. And what's happening here? Not at the age of 14, granted, but God is saying here, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Everything I have is his. I am entrusting the kingdom to my son." And then elsewhere in scripture, we learn about us being heirs of the kingdom, co-heirs with Christ. We learn about us being brothers and sisters in Christ. We are God's chosen children, and we are his heirs. So it's significant for us to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Because not only what that means for the world, but what it means for us as his church. Each of us here from different churches gathered in one space are brothers and sisters in Christ, and each a precious, adopted, chosen child of God. Possible because he is the Son of God, who chose not to be served but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The one who chose humility to come to this earth and live as we live so that he can understand suffering and life on this earth. He is the cornerstone. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe that he is the cornerstone? Do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is Lord? That means he reigns over all and is the center of it all. Is he the object of your worship? Is he the number one in your life? Is he your all in all above everything else? That morning that Claire came down and said, "I read this passage and it made sense that Jesus was the cornerstone," I was due to be leading worship in church, and so I had to rush out the door and couldn't hear the full story of what she wanted to say. But what she said after that is, "When I realized that Jesus was the cornerstone, I knew I wanted to give my life to him. And I really needed to articulate it to someone, but you had to rush out the door." And then she said, Toby, who at the time was 4, came into the lounge and said, "Auntie Claire, are you a Christian?" And she said, "Yes, I think I am." And then we turned up at church. Claire came to church. I'd chosen the songs a week in advance. And the first song I did was this one.